This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the Always Wolves podcast. We're recording this live. Thanks ever so much to Jason Guy for letting us use the venue today. Much appreciated. And I'm also joined by Paul Mansell and Manny Kang. How are you doing, guys?
Doing well, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah, good to be back and doing it in person.
It is. I do like doing it in person because I love the social side of it as well. And the cup of tea's cracking as well, I've got to say.
I'm doing my best.
We've got so much to talk about tonight, obviously. There's a lot of talk on socials about Bruno, about the players' mentality, about, you know, lots of things. So we're going to get stuck in. We're going to talk about the transfer business. We're going to be talking about performances. We're going to be talking, of course, about Bruno. We're going to give you our predictions. We've got lots to get stuck into. But as we haven't got together since the transfer window started, I thought we'd kick off, Paul, with what our thoughts are on the transfer business that Wolves eventually did, and if you can give it a rating as well out of 10 from yourself.
Well, the last time we were sat here, I think I used the word laughable for our transfer business, because up to that point, you know, was it start of August? We'd pretty much signed nobody and we've had quite a few outgoings. And it was really worrying about the complete lack of any activity. Aside from Collins, they got that business done quite early. But I think the transfer business generally, in terms of incomings, was pretty good. We've been crying out for a real top-class box-to-box midfielder, and they went out and delivered. Pep Guardiola thinks he's one of the best midfielders in the world.
You're talking about Nunes.
Nunes,
yeah.
Of course, yeah. So that signing has been long overdue, and I'm glad they've addressed that. We also wanted them to sign a top-class centre-half who was mobile, who was strong, who was good on the ball. And I think from what we've seen of Collins, have to say he looks like a good signing as well.
Kung Fu kicks accepted.
Kung Fu, yeah. Kung Fu Collins.
Yeah, we also wanted a dynamic kind of defensive midfielder as well. We haven't really had one of those probably since Alfred and Dye in the championship season. And from what we've seen fleetingly from Boubacar Traoré and from how highly rated he is, you'd have to say that that looks like a decent acquisition as well. Probably where they've struggled is in the forward line though. Guedes on paper looks like a good signing.
Yeah,
he averages a goal every 3 games for Portugal. He has done for Valencia.
How many games has he played for us now?
And he's had, is it 6 starts? There was one game he didn't start,
wasn't
there?
He's going to score a hat-trick the next game then.
Yeah.
He's going to have to.
I think I've seen flashes of positive things from him, particularly at Spurs away. I thought he was very strong in that match. And I think good things will come from him. But we'll come on to this later in the podcast. The attacking side of the squad has not properly been addressed, I don't think.
Well, I'm going to come back for you for everyone's rating at the end. Manny, picking up on that, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know what? I'm happy with the incoming. 6 players in, and all of them were fairly highly rated. Even Kalajic, I know he got injured, but he had a good record. He did have a good season. There was a concern on his injury record, and 30 minutes later he goes down. So, you know, and then the Costa thing. But I think, Jason, you said the other day, you know, Costa, we've got to really rein in our expectations. It could be a masterstroke. Likelihood, he'll probably give us 45, 50 minutes, 60 minutes in a game, and then he'll probably need replacing because, you know, you, that fitness in the Premier League, that the players are so fast, so strong. He's been out of there, so it's going to take a lot of effort just to get the fitness up to that level. So I'm not too... Apart from the injury to Kalajdzic, I think the transfer window has been really good. My worry is we've lost a big bulk of our side very quickly. So when things go wrong, you know, those players that you had previously that were around the club aren't there. Obviously, Conor Cody's one of them. You've got Willy Bolly, you've got Ruddy, you've got Marcel, you've got Sice. You've got... There's a lot of players that were in the squad for a number of years and now suddenly they're not there. So we have sort
all
of made
in their own way
yeah
well.
we've made a lot of changes very quickly, and we've lost a lot of experienced players and replaced them with, you know, Collins. He's 21. He doesn't look 21. I want to check his passport.
He looks like 21. I always think he looks like a young Billy Wright.
Yeah, well, if he's, you know, 10% of Billy Wright, he'll be a great player. But
I'll be happy if he played like Jermaine Wright.
Brilliant. No, so you know the transfer window. I think eventually. Unfortunately, 5 or 6 games into the season, you know, before we've really seen a team come together, and we're still struggling to get results. So, yes, we've got the players in, but we got them in a little bit too late, especially in those key positions. And that was the thing. Our start was so, you know, we couldn't ask for a better start, let's be honest. If we had to handpick our start, that's the start we'd pick. And we pretty much wasted some of the opportunities, some down to, you know, poor recruitment or late recruitment, sorry, and the others just our inability to score goals. So overall, the actual transfer, they know they've got till the end of August, so they delivered by the end of August a decent set of players, but I'm just worried about...
A lot of it was very late happening.
Yeah, very late.
Jason, your thoughts?
Well, last time we met at Molineux, we signed Nathan Collins and I was still predicting us to finish 8th, 9th. Now we've signed £100 million worth of talent and we're sitting in 17th. So what do I know? Realistically, I think Collins was a great signing in terms of not only is he a good defender, he's a ball-playing defender as well. In terms of he brings more to the game than just a head it and kick it defender. Nunes and Guedes, I don't want to spend too long on them, two established Portuguese internationals, and I think they're going to bring so much to the squad. Once again, all these players have got to gel together. Diego Costa, excited, yes. Is he the player of Chelsea 3-4 years ago? No, he isn't. We have got to be careful. He's even said in his interview, don't expect too much. And I think, yes, he's going to have expectation heavily weighed on him. We've got to be careful that, you know, we don't get carried away. Is he going to play 90 minutes every game? No. I'd imagine there's going to be bit part spells to start with, at least 15 minutes,
bench,
20
yeah.
minutes, 30 minutes, and then obviously he's going to build up. Traore, I don't know too much about Traore, I'll be completely honest. But once again, the reviews on Babacar Traore have been fantastic. The one I'm disappointed in is Kalajdzic, not in him as a player, in the fact that his injury record was very, very poor and he gets injured after 30 odd
I think
minutes.
It's something that we probably should look at during the podcast. Is that, as well added to the thing, is a little bit on the medical record, because, you know, the last couple of years we've had so many injuries, ACLs. I mean, when the first couple of years under Nuno, we hardly had any injuries, so something must have changed. But one of the things that, like, from my point of view on the transfer side of things is the incomings, I thought, because there was a lot of the last podcast where the focus was very much on Scott Sellers and Jeff Shee, and Bruno was kind of getting away with it in terms of the fact that they hadn't backed him. Now the focus has very heavily moved on to Bruno Lage. But one of the other things is, if you'd said to me at the end of last season that Traore would still be in the building and we'd still have Neves as well, that hasn't gone out. Thank goodness Neves hasn't gone out. And obviously he's currently the club captain. So
and number one centre-half.
And yes, playing playing central defence and midfield simultaneously at the same
time. We'll come on to that one.
So
that's why I mentioned
I mean, and this is why, we're going to come on to it, onto the performances and stuff, and then obviously talking about our thoughts on Bruno Large. But the focus and the spotlight is really bright and getting ever so brighter on Bruno Large. Paul, what would you give your rating on the transfer window as a whole?
It's a tough one because you've got to take a lot of factors into account. You guys have mentioned about the lateness of some of the signings. So is that a factor? Are we including outgoings in that as well? I think a lot of weak areas have been addressed, which I feel positive about. There's one or two areas where I still think we could improve. So I think on the whole, I'll probably call it a 7.
A solid 7.
Yeah.
And yourself, Manny?
Yeah, you know what? I'd probably go a little bit more. I'd give it an 8 out of 10 because I don't think any of us actually expected Fosun to go and spend 110 million quid.
Mm.
We pretty much thought we had to sell Neves and then that's the money we would have got to then buy 3 or 4 players after selling one. So the way they've done their business, they have bought money in, but they've actually gone net spend, and I didn't expect that.
And look at the money they got for Gibbs White.
Yeah,
as well.
They did. Oh, man, that looks tremendous money right now, doesn't it? With the way Forest got off.
Good being heck.
Well, it isn't, yeah.
That was a good deal. So, you know, in that respect, you've got to say, have we overpaid for any players? Right here, right now, I don't think we have.
No.
You know, a centre-half for 20 million, that's pretty decent business. Nunes, everybody wanted him. We got him for 40 plus 5 add-ons. That's pretty much what we've got for Gibbs-White. And then got one player that's like established in Europe. So, actually, you've got to say, in the end, she and Sellers did deliver, didn't they? They got us.
The only one thing they didn't get was that backup centre back, which is...
Yeah, I think that was the injury. You know, the Bolly thing happened really sort of late in the day.
A year left on his contract. Was it 3 million?
Yeah, and it sort of, they just didn't get it. They were after Craig Dawson, who was an experienced player, 30-odd years old, much loved at West Ham, a bit like their Conor Coady, he was. So he probably would have been the ideal type of the player to bring in.
And that got scuppered later.
Yeah, so those are the... You know, but I think I'm just impressed by the amount of money they've spent, and now they will, more than anything, the owner's going to be sitting there. Then I've signed all these checks, languishing in 17.
Now deliver.
Yeah, you've got to deliver.
I've given you all your gifts, Bruno. Now deliver. Jason, so we've got 7 and 8. What about yourself?
Well, I'll go one step further, and I think it's the best window since we signed Kevin Keane, David Kelly and Jeff Thomas.
What a window that was.
Do you know what? I do mean that. We spent over £100 million. Forget the financial outlay. You look at the quality of what we've brought in just Collins, Nunes and Guedes alone. Costa, once again, the jury's out. And arguably Costa, whichever way you look at it, is a panic signing. Right.
Oh, well, it is.
Yeah.
And
people were saying about Andy Carroll, shouldn't have signed Andy Carroll. Please. You know, we don't want Andy Carroll, whatever. But although they're slightly different players, they're both in-your-face, elbows, spit, snot. And but we're looking at Costa. We're thinking about him 3 or 4 years ago.
I have heard there's a lot of shirts being sold with Diego Costa's
name. Well, there you go.
And it's 10 letters because he's insisting on having
both names.
Both names.
And, you know, with Carroll, if we'd have signed Carroll, we'd have been expecting the Liverpool Andy Carroll, right? So, yes, it is a bit of a panic signing. I will go for a 9 out of 10 because I think there's some real quality that's come in the squad. They've addressed the key areas apart from the centre-half position. So we can't complain at that window. Yeah. We will complain at that window, but we can't.
No.
But you're quite right. The spotlight's on Bruno because it's on the board, then the board deliver, then it's on the manager. So if the manager doesn't deliver, it's curtains.
Literally. Well, I'm going to go with an 8.5. Basically, because they didn't get that extra defender in for one. And obviously the other reason why I couldn't give it a full marks is because a lot of the players came in quite late. But I think in terms of like when we went into the window, like what you've referred to, we didn't expect them to invest. They have gone and they've backed, which is one of the things that Bruno was saying. He wants his own players. And let's face it, with the outgoings, this is now Bruno's squad. He's made the decisions about Conor going and all the rest of them and building his squad, which is why, you know, people are getting frustrated and the spotlight's well and truly on him. But overall, Fosun, Jeff, you know, you can't complain at the end of the day. You did deliver. But we're going to move on now to performances, which is basically up until this point.
Can I sit this bit out?
I'll go to Manny first. Performances. How are you feeling about the performances so far? Not necessarily the result, but we're obviously going to focus
in moments of games. Go back to the first game, Leeds. We scored early.
Yeah.
And then we made an absolute clangor between defender and goalkeeper, let them back into it. But the second half, we came out actually playing some amazing football.
Yeah.
We totally
controlled the game.
Dominated that game. For about 20 minutes, we looked so strong. Morgan Gibbs-White is no longer it. Actually, he did have a really good game that day, and Pedence and what was missing? Goals. We could not score that second goal. Couldn't score that second goal. You know, the
and
problem.
And then their first attack, they have.
Yeah, and the only. So that actually gave us a bit of hope and thought, okay. And then, you know, we went to Fulham. And for me, it was like, I just don't understand the formation. So the performances have been there. But some of the performances are about individuals. It's been about Neves having a great game, or Nunes having a great game, or Johnny was really good in this game, or Collins had a great. It's never been, oh, wow, our team were really good today.
Yeah.
So that's my worrying thing. The performances are us clapping individuals rather than the whole team, because unless they produce a goal at the end of it, pretty much doesn't mean anything.
Well, we're definitely going to come on to the lack of goals.
I've got some stats for you.
Oh, can't wait.
I've got stats.
These are going to be interesting. Paul, your thoughts on the performances up to this point?
I think on another day, another year, those performances probably would have yielded more points than what we've got.
Yeah.
I've seen some bright things, particularly I thought the performance at Spurs.
Yeah, that was
they've won all of their home matches.
The first half, we were completely dominant.
I think we had 17 goal attempts, I think. Mm. And Manny said rightly that we played quite well at Leeds. I thought as well, we went for Leeds with an attacking mentality. I think you can break it into defence, midfield and attack performances. And I think the defence have performed well.
Yeah.
Prior to the match against Man City, we had the best defensive record in the league. So they are functioning well as a four. You have to give the manager credit, because we've played with a five for 4 or 5 years now. And he's made the transition to a four very easily. We were worried about that. It was something that's new for us. So credit to the defence. I think the midfield, in patches, has looked bright. Neves has really stood out. Nunes looks like he's going to be a good acquisition as well. So they've, judging by our possession that we've had at places like Tottenham and against Fulham, I think it was 60-odd% as well.
The highest possession we've ever had against Man City in 5 years.
Was it
41%.
41%, and that was with 10 men for the whole of the second half.
So they're keeping the ball well in midfield. So you have to say that if you judge it on that, they're performing quite well. And we're going to talk about it's the final third of the pitch. And my big gripe that I have is the lack of service coming into the box is really killing us. So if you divide the pitch into thirds, the back two thirds, I think, are doing pretty well, particularly the defence. The top third of the pitch, not happy with that side of things.
Yeah. Jason?
I'm pretty underwhelmed, to be honest. I think we went into this season, especially with the signings, with a lot more expectation. The league table doesn't lie. It doesn't 17th. And we've had quite a kind running to start with as well, I'll be honest. There's no easy games in the Premier League, and obviously we've got some tough ones coming up. I just think there's just been... there's just been, like Jose Sarr in the tunnel, I've got to mention this, against Man City, that...
This was captured on BT, wasn't it?
TV. And he's saying to De Bruyne, go easy on us today. You know, with that mentality, you've lost before you even go out there.
Yeah.
And then after 56 seconds, we're picking the 55 seconds, we're picking the ball out of the net. So I think there's individual errors. Nathan Collins doing that tackle on the halfway line. To be fair to him, though, he's going for the ball. You can see he's looking at the ball. That's all he's going for. He's not trying to decapitate Jack Grealish. He's going for the ball, catches the player. On another day, it's not a red, it's unfortunate. But against Man City, we're always going to get punished. Yes, possession was great. But we undone that ourselves, A, in the tunnel, and B, as soon as we come out onto the pitch, you know.
The game plan had gone after 55 seconds.
Completely. And, you know, then Bruno, what does he do? Then 1-0 down against Man City. What, we've got to score two goals to win? It's not happening, is it? Especially then when we've got 10 players.
Yeah.
That's just one match. Yes, there has been some really exciting things to latch on to. One thing that I will mention is the atmosphere in Molineux. seems to be really, really flat. The atmosphere as well from, you know, listen, Nuno used to enthuse me. Bruno doesn't really enthuse me.
Yeah, he's not got that. Yeah, he does seem to be like a school teacher type.
And
he,
yeah,
thing,
and you think, listen, when the chips are down, you want someone to come in there and just, you know, you've got to have confidence in your manager. Mm. You've got to have confidence. Look, that's just me. But I have been very, very underwhelmed so far. And you know me, I'm a happy clapper. I'll just give us a 9 out of 10 for the transfer window. For God's sake, we didn't sign a backup centre-half. But, yeah, it's... the atmosphere in Molyneux, that's the point I wanted to come to. It does seem really flat.
It is.
We've had some fantastic times.
There's a few reasons,
in that stadium.
I think, on that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there's a few reasons for me. I mean, I know, Dave, you're going on to lack of goals, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about it. And we can talk about the player mentality.
Yeah, so,
because
you know,
every
crowd needs something to feed on
100%.
To.
Yes.
Do you know that a striker, a centre forward, hasn't scored at Molyneux in the year 2022?
Is that
right?
In front of the South Bank, yeah.
You know, the South Bank is our singing section. A centre forward hasn't scored a goal in the whole year.
Was it Ait Nori that scored the last goal
in front of the South Bank? There's only been five in the whole year in front of the South Bank.
Wow.
There's only been five
I'm
goals.
I'm more surprised, Manny, that you've remembered that stat without writing it down.
Mate, I haven't read it in my head. You know, that is horrendous. You know, in the top five leagues, so the five main leagues in Europe, there's only one side of 120 sides that has a lower conversion rate.
Cadiz
than us.
In Spain.
Yeah,
I saw that.
It's our crowd hasn't been good, and we need. But
when you put it like that, Manny,
let's
you're
be
quite
honest.
Right.
You know,
well, why do you, that's why the crowd's flat, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
If a player scores, we haven't had a goal this season in front of the South Bank. This season, we've had none. We haven't scored in the second half of any game this season. Any game. We used to be a second half
we
side.
We used to never score in the
And now
first
we're
half.
A no half side. Honestly, I actually looked at because people were saying, I sit right in the corner, right next to the South Bank, and we're in the Steve Ball. We try and make a racket, but it is hard when you've got nothing to make a racket for. You've got to have a 2-1. And literally, you look at the South Bank, and then I think every crowd is ready to erupt. They need something to feed on. They need a striker. They need someone going in the crowd. They need
against
the
Man
pump.
City. They were up to start with,
yeah,
and then you 1-0 down.
But then
after 56,
the team needs to
seconds.
Respond, and you know those stats are just like there's three things that they are horrific.
The second half one, we used to be called obviously second half FC because we'd obviously concede first and then come alive in the second half. So now we're now half FC.
Thing is, the second half. Going back onto that lack of goals, the second half is the most. It's like the most important half in football because it's you've still got to, that's the if you've had a poor half or you're behind, you've got a plan, you go in at half time and then you come back out. To think that we've had 8 games, including the Preston game, we've had 8 games and we haven't scored a single goal. And to be honest, I don't think we've looked like scoring a goal.
That's part of the problem for me. The biggest it's the end result, the net result. But it's the creativity as well. And I think with these players on the pitch at our disposal, and even what's on the bench to a degree, you think, come on, we should be... But there's nowhere near enough coming from midfield. So, once again, if you look at the Portuguese internationals, we've got bolstering the middle of that park. There's nowhere near enough goals. Nowhere near enough.
Well,
if you look at the past, like, sorry, Dave, like a Lampard and a Gerrard, we've got nowhere even near.
Even in our old days, Dave Edwards used to score 10 goals.
He used to come into the box
near
late. We don't seem to get anyone who does that
off a corner. Well, if you look at it as well, I mean, Bruno Lage, they got obviously moved on Nuno because it was stale and defensive, and you know he got us to the last season to 13. So they made the change. They brought Bruno Lage in. His record with Benfica is something like 101 goals. I know it's the Portuguese league, very attacking. And he's been brought in on a mandate to play exciting, attacking football. And we saw that in the first 3 or 4 games of last season.
Without scoring again.
And last season we scored an average of a goal a game. I think it was 38 goals we scored. This year I think we're on an average of 0.4 goals a game. We scored 3 goals in 7 games. 2 of them have been misses from Pedence because they were both... not hit well, they were misses.
Yeah,
and the other one was a worldie from Neves. And those are the 3 goals that we've scored. Okay, we got 2 against Preston in the cup, but in the Premier League, that's what we've scored. Now, is it player mentality. What's your degree in?
Psychologist, sports psychologist.
You're in sports psychology. Come on, Paul, what do you think?
I've got a missus who's got a degree in psychology. Every time we have a rant.
Well, to me, yes, that is a contributing factor. It's not the only factor, but for sure. I mean, even my daughters are saying, Dad, they're taking too many touches, and that smacks of a lack of confidence. You're trying to do everything really precisely because you don't back yourself to shoot first time. Or so for me, there's confidence is an issue.
In front of goal.
Yes, and it's not just this season, is it? It goes back, as you've discussed, to last season as well, particularly the back end of last season. So it's a long-term problem that seems to get worse and worse, and then confidence dips and dips. So yes, that's a contributing factor. And there's this concept called learned helplessness, where you feel that it's failure is inevitable in front of goal, and they are suffering from that. No one has any conviction. No one looks like they're going to really score. Who do you back when they're around the edge of the box and they're about to shoot? Neves, maybe, against Newcastle. Which other players look like, when they're presented with a half chance, they're going to score? You can think about Neto, that early chance against Southampton.
He had a chance again against Manchester City, and he took that extra touch. He got close down and pulled more, and then he skews it wide. If he'd hit it first time...
Is he playing... You know what? Remember that good season he had when Raul gets injured, the lockdown season, and he got 5 goals, 5 assists. So he had 10 contributions, you know, and he's had none this season. He played all his games on the left-hand side.
There is an argument.
And he's always trying to cut in, take a touch, and then suddenly the defender takes it off him. So
this is a tactical
decision. That's not down to Neto if he's playing on that side. That's the manager saying, I want you to play there. So, you know, those type of things confuse me. The three in midfield... Three in midfield used to be when you played Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea, and then you went to two and played the extra attacker. For me, we might as well be 5 at the back, because Neves is going next to Collins to grab the ball. So we might as well... The whole purpose of going to 4 was to have an extra attacker. We haven't done that. He's kept the extra attacker just in front of the defence.
And we can't blame this purely on that there's not a striker putting the ball in the back of the net, because once again, we're just coming down to creativity and assists. Yeah. And so I'd agree, Manny. I'd agree 5 at the back, I think.
Well, he's playing, like you're saying, inverting wingers, isn't he? So that's why you've got Neto, and he doesn't feel...
At the end of the day, it's all about results. This game is not that complicated. It's about putting the ball in the back of the net. So whatever he's trying, not for 8 matches, for 38 plus 8, you know, 46 matches, hasn't really worked.
No.
It hasn't worked for that amount of matches. That's a lot of matches where it hasn't worked.
Well, how many was it? What's 1 win in 14 in the Premier League?
More than that, 16. I think.
16.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
is it 2 in 20?
21.
That was Eight points in the last 14 games.
Which manager survives that? I'm not saying Bruno stay. It's one of them where it wouldn't bother me either way if he went tomorrow.
If they heard that he'd gone,
they'd be like, okay,
he's gone. Who's next? We would straight away. There'd be no 14-day mourning period for Nuno.
It wouldn't be. I think we can all say it got to be stale under Nuno. I don't want to go too far back, but it got to be stale under Nuno. And that was partly because of lockdown as well.
Yeah.
Right?
No crowd.
Losing Raul at that key point.
Of course, it was so difficult to judge him. And when we was all disappointed for various reasons. We got to Europe, with the football, you know, the way Nuno was as a person. And then with Bruno... I just think we're a bit,
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I've got to ask the question because we're going to talk about Bruno Large and where the situation is right now. Because, you know, I think whatever anyone says, because of the run of results from the end of last season to now, you say that he's on thin ice and the ice is starting to crack,
yeah,
and he could drop into the cold abyss.
Yes.
Anytime. I like my little analogy there. That's pretty good. Yeah. But like, how much is it? Is this situation, because I've got to play devil's advocate, how much is it down to Bruno?
Yeah.
How much is it down to bad luck with injuries? How much is it down to recruitment? Because Bruno Large is obviously, his argument to the board is, well, I lost Kilman at the end of last season, I had some injuries, we ran out of steam. This season you've brought my players in, but you haven't given me time to train it. Now I've lost my strikers, my central defender's now got a red card. Obviously, you can see Bruno on the thing going, what else is going to go wrong?
It's also the same day for 19 of the managers in that league.
Exactly,
yeah,
the same.
Oh, no, this is what I'm saying. Yeah, like, yeah, how yeah, much yeah. is it? Is it now time, as a lot of people, a lot of the fan base, I mean, the vocal ones and not so vocal ones,
yeah,
that have come on, you know, and talked about it, is now the time for Wolves to go, do you know what? Thank you very much, Mr. Bruno Large. We don't think it's working, or do you think it's like he gets... Because I think you said on extra time you'd give him one more game.
You know, I think he's like one poor defeat away. The crucial thing for me is, put all that to one side, all the bad luck, all the injuries, all the late recruitment. In life, you have to actually show something, and you then buy yourself time. So we went to Bournemouth away, and we played negatively, we set up negatively, and then we suddenly came to life when it was too late.
Yeah.
So if you look at that Bournemouth game, you look at the Newcastle when we should have really gone for that second goal.
Well, he made the...
We could have easily... There's an easy 4 points there. We'd have been 1 point off seventh. We'd have been 1 point off seventh, just those two games. And that what that does is, still leaves Bruno in the same situation with the injuries, but it's bought him time.
Yes.
No one's going to now ask for his head because we're eight.
And it puts so much more confidence throughout the squad as well.
Of course it does,
because
yeah,
you're telling me that squad isn't beginning to become low on confidence when they're looking at the league table. All this, oh yeah, we just go into the next match, we don't look at the table. Listen, the results aren't lying at the minute, are they? It is really disappointing.
Absolutely. I mean, it is, I think, and everyone's feeling it. When they got the win against Southampton, I mean, and let's face it, Southampton got close to an equaliser again.
Mm. Yeah.
Against Fulham, we should have won the game, and we nearly lost it because of this penalty. Yeah. Saar made the penalty save. Leeds were in the lead. We gave it away and lost it. Tottenham were dominant. We didn't take our chances. They had the chance. They finished it
That's
off.
Good.
Newcastle were winning 1-0. He brings Wang on when the obvious person to bring on was Traore to push them back. I think if he makes a different substitution, there's a lot. He often makes no substitutions or very late substitutions. So people have to ask the question tactically. Is he tactically naive? Did he make a genius decision at the weekend to play Neves in the back?
We lost
3-0. We lost 3-0, but like, was that... I actually look at it and like, see both sides. The defenders that are on the bench, like, what, you know, you said, what message does it send to them? But Neves had got the range of passing to get...
And you see, I think one of the journalists, I think it was Steve Madeley, said, is Bruno Large giving a message to the board, you know, that he doesn't trust the bench, he needs another centre-half and all that. And then you think, well, listen, if he's playing games like that against
then
Man City...
Then he shouldn't be going.
Yeah. With Neves, I think, yes, there was a logic to it. You know, listen, Neves can play anywhere, realistically.
He was magnificent, wasn't he?
My argument was, and I'd like to thank the kind people of Twitter for the little tweet I put out about Conor Cody. My point was, with Conor, I just think we've lacked a little bit of leadership.
100%,
we've lacked someone vocal. We've lacked that experience, right? Collins and Kilman are still very young lads, right? Right centre halves of our team, okay? With Cody, he just brings a little bit more. Yes, I understand why Bolly went, but 3 million quid we've given away. But I understand the deal behind it.
To be fair, that first game for Forest, he looked awful.
Oh, yeah. But on.
Hooked him off, didn't they, after about
Against City, yeah. Cody or Bolly on the bench, one of them comes on.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I think so, anyway. Yeah. That's my opinion. the two defenders on the bench, Gomez and
Mosquera.
Yeah, Mosquera. Yeah. Gomez and Mosquera. You know, why are they on the bench otherwise? They're on the bench because they've got to be called into action at any point, and they're not.
And Tosi Gomez never let anyone down last
season. I think Gomez is a great player, but yeah, that's the time.
Well, we'll see, because he has to play.
Go and make a name for yourself. Yeah. Go out there. And Gomez hasn't let us down yet. We haven't really seen enough of Mosquera to make any
comments. Well, he got injured, but he was a bit John Smith when he was like getting stuck into the tackles, and then he got another one that got injured. If you look at all the injuries, Johnny two ACLs, Chiquinho before the start of the season, the new guy, not even going to say his name, Kalajic, injured, you know, Neto got injured. We've had so many ACLs. Is that a coincidence that we've had such a run, or is there something not quite right with behind the scenes, like with the medical side of things? Yeah. It just seems that, I don't know.
Well, we've gone from a club which we don't get injuries, do we? We went through that period where we didn't get any injuries at all of any note. Now to what you said, Johnny's ACL.
Long-term injuries.
Even playing in the Euro League as well at the time.
Paul's just said there, that's really key. Remember, Nuno was a bit like Bruno, small squad, 14, 15 players, I'm happy. Big season, lots of matches, Europe, qualifiers, and obviously it went far in the cup as well. So all those, are we now suffering because we had a small squad? And then a couple of seasons later, people are now breaking down, you know. So there may be, you know, some are quite clearly Kalajic. Everyone now turns to, everybody knew his injury record. You could see it online. You saw his injury record and you thought,
I'm still reading it now. On the
page. it's pages long. It is actually.
It's also available in hardback, man.
Can I sign copy, mate?
Probably, you know. Yeah, it's a...
What do you reckon, Paul?
Yeah, probably a bit of a regression to the mean as well, because, you know, when you go for so long with so few injuries, naturally things are going to even out a little bit. But there is quite a high amount of ACL injuries. Yeah. And I know they take the preparation and the science really seriously, and the setup at Compton is really elite. So I don't know. I mean, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but you could argue that based on the amount and the frequency of ACL and serious injuries, perhaps something is a little bit amiss.
Yeah,
you'd be asking questions, wouldn't you, of your medical department, and of you, the owners.
Is it the you don't know exactly how the training is. The training, how they train, effectively.
Is it too intense?
Yeah,
you
know, that type of thing.
We're speculating now, by the way.
Yeah, we are.
Chiquinho has been confirmed that he'll be out till next pre-season.
Wow.
Yeah, these players aren't
getting. Because it's not just an ACL. There's also other bits of his knee that need. You know, so
I think you've just done the same to my there. Man, he's just slide tackled my table leg and injured it. Fucking table's going to be out for 6 months.
6 months. Brilliant, man.
Brilliant, man. Eh?
He's not very mobile anyway.
Leave me with
mate.
The table.
Go on, Paul.
I think there is probably an element of luck. You know, bad luck that we're getting, but these players aren't getting injured through freak. Bad tackles. Like, remember when Jeff Thomas got injured against Sunderland?
Yes. Steve
and he got wiped out. Completely. Terrible tackle. Yeah. These players aren't getting injured as a result of that. So that would make you think maybe it is about the preparation or stuff going on behind the scenes. But just coming back to Bruno, my big problem with him is that he can't find solutions to problems that keep... I know the word solutions haunts us a little bit.
Yeah,
but he can't find answers to ongoing things that like the lack of goals, and like when we go a goal down, you think there's no chance of us getting anything from the game. Those two things are going on. And it's been the case, not just this season, it's been the case last season. You could reel off 10 stinking performances last season as well. Yeah. So he was coming into this season, I think, despite that good run in January last year, he was coming into the season, I don't think, with a huge amount of credit in the bank. And you use the phrase thin ice, and I think that's a good way to sum it up at the moment, because he is, in my opinion, maybe even one bad result in the next match, say a 3 or 4 nil defeat.
Oh, easily.
People will be really kicking off about that.
And we've been making excuses for him. We've been saying, oh, it wasn't his squad, it's not his team. It's his squad, it's his team, and he spent some serious money.
Yeah, and I wonder, would a different manager have got more out of the crop of players that we've had and got? And for me, if an elite manager is available next week, I think we have to go out and get him, because in my opinion, Bruno's not an elite manager. I don't think he's going to lead us into the top seven. And if someone like Lopetegui says to Fosun, come and get me, I think we go and get him.
Well, there is an argument to say that they're already having these conversations behind the scenes. Lopetegui is one. We know he's been on Wolves' radar. He was actually going to be the first.
He was basically signed to come here, and then Spain came in last minute. So.
Well, he obviously did great with Sevilla. Was he the manager when Wolves played Sevilla in the quarterfinal of the Europa League?
Yeah, he was.
You know, they were in it. I mean, we lost 1-0, and you know, they it was so one side. We had that early penalty, which Realm obviously missed at the time. He took them to win the Europa League. They did well in the Champions League. I think they come fourth or something last year in the, or third in the Spanish League. And then obviously this year he's not started well, and he's been under a lot of pressure. They got a 0-0 the weekend, and he's under the similar sort of spotlight that Bruno is over here. He's kind of could be one bad result away from getting the job. Are they holding fire to see what happens with him? There's an also saying that it was Vilas Boas that was apparently at the Southampton game. Jack was talking about this on Extra Time. He knows someone that works at the thing, and Vilas Boas was actually in a box with the Fosun chairman. He did at the thing. Apparently, he was at the
Southampton game.
This is
not a good sign, is it?
I asked Jack, on the thing, and Jack says he will not be the manager for the next for West Ham. And I'm like, because he thinks that Vilas Boas.
Yeah.
Is going to be the next man. He's another one, and there's a couple of others that are in there. It's definitely, if we bring someone else, he's going to be a Portuguese manager, isn't
it? Whoever they're bringing, it's going to be a done deal. There's not going to be an knee-jerk reaction on the manager like we've done on a striker and like we'll do on the odd player. You can't knee-jerk managers anymore, not at this level, not in this league. Whoever is the next manager, because I can't see Bruno seeing out the season, if I'm completely honest.
Do you think he'll be here at Christmas?
No, I don't. I don't think he'll be here before the World Cup.
No, I don't think he will.
Unless I'm looking at the fixtures now. I'm not going to obviously spoil it for everyone. But unless we're picking up points very, very quickly. But saying that, they're going to have someone lined up, 100%.
They're not going to be like, let's get rid of McCarthy and faff about and then appoint Terry Connor.
Well, Terry Connor is available, so. In fact, 9 games till the World Cup.
Who else better to come in with Premier League experience than Terry Connor?
There you go. Mick McCarthy will pick the team. Away we go.
Do you think he'll be here for the West Ham game, Paul?
Probably more likely than not.
I think he probably will be for West Ham.
I'm not saying that means I necessarily want him to be that, but
we don't want to be Bruno bashing, because none of us here want him to be a manager that takes over your club, you want him to have the best.
Yes, you do. We did feel for him last year at key times. He didn't have, when Neves gets injured, when Podence gets injured, when Raul gets injured at the end of the season, didn't have replacements. He went out there and he wanted them, and he kept telling us that I will get those players up, and he's got those players. But, you know, if you look at just our next 2 games, West Ham and Chelsea, we've only scored 3 goals. How far ahead of 3 goals will we be after West Ham and Chelsea? It doesn't look like we'll be more than one, maybe. Honestly, that's how we all feel. And that will end up with us being relegated. There's no other way of it going if we carry on this trajectory.
Can we really feel sorry for Bruno? Listen, he's a football manager. He knows the game's a cruel mistress.
Yeah.
Let's look at the results. Which other manager is going to survive? 2 in 21, 2 in 21.
Well, no one manager. It's only because some of it was last year.
I think that because we had a break, that sort of saved him. Because he had a break and this is like a fresh start. That saved him. If this was just one run, he would have gone before now. We'd have gone before now. We wouldn't have waited.
And you can't blame it on solely a striker. Yeah. If it's going to take a striker to save his job, then what's next?
Yeah. Well, Fosun aren't going to stand there and let Wolves get relegated, because everything that they've got to this point all goes up in the air. They won't mess about.
They've got to convince Nunes. You know, the players they bought in. They convinced these players to stay. They convinced Neves to stay. Obviously, you know, the offers didn't come in and he's happy to stay. They bought in one of the world's best midfielders, everyone's saying. These players, you know,
they ain't going to hang around and be 18th and 19th.
Well, hang on. Look at Ruben Neves when the window opens. And we're 16th, 15th. What's he going to be thinking?
Exactly.
There's been an intent to keep him with the signings we've made. But if it's not happening, you know, he ain't stopping, is he?
Paul, how long have you been Bruno? I mean, I think you said if on the Extra Time show, you said go now. I think you said West Ham.
I just think West Ham, because I can't see any obvious signs at the moment. Everyone's going away, and I think it will be West Ham, and then it'd be very lucky if he keeps. It'll have to be a tremendous performance and a big change around there.
Costa's going to have to score after Chelsea.
Yeah.
What about you, Paul?
It depends who else is available. I think that's the big thing, because ultimately, if someone better than him is available next week, they should go out and get him, regardless of forthcoming fixtures. But I think I agree probably with what Manny said, that if there's a really poor defeat against West Ham, the pressure ramps up another level, and we need to take some points from this fixture run that we have coming in October. And do you trust him to be the man to get those points for us? I don't think so. I mean, one quick other issue that I have with him, listening to an interview with John Ruddy, is John Ruddy questioned his ability to be a good man manager, to communicate effectively with the players and so on. And I think, especially in modern football now, you have to be really good at that. And if you look at someone like Antonio Conte, who came in at a similar stage of the season last year for Tottenham, he transformed that team. Yes, they've spent money this summer, but prior to that, it was the same players. And I think he's not getting the best out of these players.
Do you think as well the decision in pre-season, it was apparently with the game before Sporting Lisbon where Coady was basically frozen out, has affected the dressing room as well? And Neves has stepped up as a captain. He's not the same sort of captain. He leads by example.
There's lots of rumours about Coady and what's happened behind the scenes. But for Connor Coady not to be, from suddenly being Mr. Wolves to not being happy at all, something's happened. Something has happened where he hasn't felt. Connor Coady's the kind of guy, he's in the England squad because he takes Gareth Southgate's job and does it for him in the dressing room. Gareth can sort of relax because he knows Cody's there, going in amongst all the players. Coady was everybody's friend, all the youngsters, Aitnuri, Neto. He kept everyone bubbling. He was around people, hugging them. And he was like that.
A real motivator.
He was a proper motivator. And for suddenly him to fall out, that's what
into
I see.
Into the cold. That's a decision.
And I think there's a way of doing things. There's a way of doing things when you have to make a decision. So Bruno wants to go back to back four, and he feels Cody's. There's still a way you have to do that. And is it a culture thing? Is it Bruno thinks he's done everything as he should, but it's not really been. Is it? It's something in his. Bowley suddenly doesn't turn up. That would never happen under Nuno. That wouldn't happen, would it?
No.
Ruddy saying those things. Ruddy was a key player in the back room saying those things about
I think Bruno said he wanted to keep Ruddy. It was the directors that decided to let him go.
Yeah, what he said was there's three main people that could influence the decision.
Yeah.
Sellers, Bruno and she. And he said two of those wanted him to stay. Yeah. And what I got from listening to the interview was that it was Sellers and Bruno that were saying stay. Yeah. And I think she pulled the plug on that. But Manny's right. There's something I don't think quite right in terms of the culture behind the scenes within the club, and losing a big player like Connor is not going to help that. And I completely agree. You don't go from being a real focal point of the club, being really happy, being really bubbly.
And the other thing, this myth about him not being able to play in a back four.
Yeah.
He literally plays in a back four, and they've given him the armband now. So, were we quick to judge him? Yes, we know he had lack of pace, but one thing Connor Cody's done is every year he's improved. From the time Nuno took over, he got better, better, better. And he's great. He's going to go to the World Cup.
Bearing in mind, we signed Connor Coady we're not going to make this the Connor Coady show, but we signed Connor Coady.
Well, it's important talk about.
Imagine the comments if we do.
as a midfielder. And to be fair, and I'll put this out there now, he was a bang average midfielder. He wasn't jumping off the page.
If he'd have lost him, nobody would have batted him.
He did a job. If he'd have gone before Nuno come, he turned into an unbelievable player. Yes, there's better players out there, but it was the whole game. His whole game, his entire game. Yeah. And his attitude is exemplary. And you know what? If that puts another 20% onto his performance, then, you know, characters like that you miss hugely. And it wasn't just about the fact that, you know, it wasn't just his defending I was on about. It was the whole package with him. And Everton are benefiting now, in my opinion. I just think it was a big character to let go in what is a big season for Bruno Lage. Now, Bruno's got to be realistic. If he's got this philosophy for this back four, he's got to also be able to change it at some point. But I think he's going to stick to his guns.
He's gone all in now, hasn't he? He's literally gone all in from back three to back. This is the thing. When he's made all of these decisions, like Volley and Cody and everything that's happened, and Saïss as well, he's literally ripped up the back three and he's gone in with the back four and he's committed to it. I mean, there is also questions about, like, how comfortable are Ait Nouri and Johnny Otto playing as those fullbacks, where they're kind of wing backs in the back four as well.
See, are they classic fullbacks? No, they're not. They are wing backs, and the wing back system is suited, if you know, to a back five or a back three. It is better suited to that. So for a back four, I just think it leaves us a little bit.
That's why I sort of said, like, we might as well stop, because you have Neves dropping so deep when those two attack. It goes back to a back five, really. Yeah. It really does. And so we haven't really benefited by having that extra person. So if he wants to stick to back four, he's got to be brave enough to say to Neves and Nunes, you're both world class. You can play on that midfield.
We talked about
on your own. And I'm going to put an extra man. I'm going to put a Pedence. And even if Chem Campbell comes in and say, you know, you're a striker, I'm still going to stick you there because Pedence is going to be behind you and we're going to have two wingers. We're still going to have an extra attacker.
Yeah.
You can't have people on the bench and then have zero confidence in actually playing them.
Might as well put you and Dave on the bench.
Well,
we'd have a go, wouldn't we, mate?
We'd have a go. But the thing is, like,
we'd run up and down.
Even in the old, let's be honest, in the old times when I remember we went through a real crisis of strikers and we stuck Darren Roberts in, remember?
Yeah.
And he went and scored after. Listen,
against Birmingham. You put players on, Shem Campbell, any young lad in the 18, 19, just, he's going to have absolutely no fear. He's got absolutely nothing to lose.
And he's a striker, he knows the role.
And is he going to have a worse scoring record than any of our strikers?
And in the position where we've lost all our strikers, if he still can't come on, then
But are they just bench warmers? Are they just literally make... Because there was also the other statistic, especially the Leeds game, wasn't it, where we used one substitute, did we? Yeah. And then there was clubs using...
It was the lowest in the league.
Yeah.
On that weekend. The next lowest is three.
But still now, he hasn't got that confidence in the bench, has he?
And what's the point of him being there?
Well, there isn't.
We want to come on quickly. I don't normally do this, but you asked to, like, put a thing... You wanted to talk about... Diogo Jota.
I probably wouldn't put this on Twitter.
Why not?
For fear of ending in a gas chamber.
that's all full, mate.
I actually missed the cut on that
you
one.
You missed the cut, mate.
With Diogo Jota, I think that the goal scoring, the problems have stemmed from there, right, from getting rid of Diogo Jota. Now, the argument was... He was out of form. He wasn't doing it. You know, it was time to move on. He'd lost his hunger. Yeah, you could say exactly the same about Raul Jimenez as well, right? You could. With Jota, I think we lost an unbelievable player there. A really player. You know, he could be a fox in the box. He could run at the defence. He could create goals. He could drag players out of positions. He could do everything. And that's why Liverpool, one of the best club sides in the world, signed him. Mm. They were scouting him for a long time. They knew how good he was. Yes, we got unbelievable money for him. Was it good business? It was fantastic business. And I always say this, but we have missed him massively since, because we haven't replaced him. We haven't got a player anywhere near him who can play.
Well, the argument is Neto. That's why they're letting go, because Neto is coming up behind. But Neto's not...
Who would you rather have, Dave? I'll put that to you.
Well, obviously, Jota has gone on to prove himself. He's playing with...
I'm not putting him on the spot, by the way, but I'm saying out of the two,
Yeah, no, but there was a train of thought that Neto was going to be.
Dave, it's all about replacements.
But he switched. We've had
bits and pieces of, like, you know, Chiquinho. He was looking so good, wasn't he? And then he gets this.
He was so direct.
But yeah. We've also had, like, Kalajic with his injury record. Then we go for William Jose. Remember him coming in? We've had lots of. Well, the thing is, that's how bad it got.
Bonatini's still there, and he can't get off Bonatini. The bench.
We even bought Cotroni back, didn't we, for a bit?
I mean, listen, Cotroni, come on. I mean, how many chances has that got? So Bruno Lage's still in the job. Cotroni, how many chances was we going to give that chances, guy? Because he had that great song.
So what I'm saying is, selling Jota wasn't the biggest issue for me. The biggest issue is, if you've made that decision, you've got to bring in a player as equally as good as him or better. And we're like, we bought Nunes in and we bought Collins in the striking department. We haven't gone for that.
So
striker.
A quick question to you three. Do you think Neto is the player he was after his injury?
No. Definitely. And I don't think Raul is either. I don't think that's a little bit psychology. I mean, you saw from the clean through in the Bournemouth game when he was clean through before the injury that he finishes that. But yeah. He snatches it. It's happening again.
The mentality, though, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, you know, when he scored that goal against Preston, and it's only Preston, we know, but it was we never win in that bloody cup. So he scores that goal, and we get a penalty. He's never, ever scored a hat-trick for Wolves. A striker at Molineux, if you've got a chance to score a penalty, you're not going to give the ball to anyone, knowing that you'll be on a hat-trick. Yeah. And he gave the ball to Wang. It was that mentality for me is like, what are you thinking, Raul?
That mentality is too nice. Yeah. He should be selfish. He should be grabbing that
grabbing
ball.
It no off, pushing him it. Out the way.
When we talk about mentality, Collins, when he done the tackle on Grealish at the weekend, apparently he waited for 25 minutes for Grealish after. Okay. Listen, Grealish carried on playing the game. He wasn't injured.
Have you seen the video of the Northern Ireland team?
Oh, yeah, they're ripping
James McLean has just ripped him apart.
I don't like James McLean.
Yeah, he goes, first you start crying on the pitch after doing that tackle, and then you waited 25 minutes to apologise, and they're all laughing at Collins.
Yeah, but 25 minutes waiting for Jack Grealish. Yeah, I mean, do you know what? He's all
send him a text if you want
it. Yeah, send him a text. He's all right. He's not in hospital. He hasn't gone to New Cross.
That's right.
Flipping played.
Yeah. It's a
25 minutes.
It's a game of football, man. You know, these things happen.
Do you think he did the right thing by going and waiting and saying, I'm sorry, Jack, for that comment?
Can I have your autograph?
Do you think he did the right thing? I mean, a gentlemanly thing, fair to play. He's
a
nice bloke.
Yeah,
are we too nice as a team?
Possibly. Maybe it could have been resolved by an Instagram direct message or something like that.
Sliding into Jack's DMs.
it's not like when Jimenez got injured, that head injury, and if you'd have waited around for that, that's different, I think.
That was like,
that's like a life or death situation.
Yeah, that's
situation.
Completely different. Yeah.
This is a high foot in someone's chest. And yeah, I think he could have resolved it with a text, but either way, it's not.
Or if he had waited 25 minutes, I wished I hadn't found out about it.
Yeah.
You know, that is the main thing. In games gone past, we didn't know. And now, like with Jose Sarr, the cameras are in the face. Every angle's covered.
Yeah.
Somebody will get a report. So the players know this.
Would Roy Keane be doing that?
Mate,
Roy
you know
Keane
what?
Be saying to Patrick Vieira,
you see Neves,
go easy on us today.
You see Neves. Neves is our superstar player.
Well, he's
got his head bowed. He looks forward, head bowed again.
Yeah.
You can tell the guy's sort of focused. And
really focused.
And the thing is, imagine Brian Clough was our manager. OJ Sarr wouldn't play again, I don't think.
Imagine Warnock.
He would be dropped for the next game, I think.
I get it as well. It's banter and all that. I understand
that.
I like banter more than anyone. It's a Premier League game against Manchester City. If we're thinking we're not going to win that game, well, we might as well put Shem Campbell in goal.
I don't believe
we've got to go out to in that game to think we're going to win that game.
This comes back to the same question.
Mentality.
Are we, as a team, too nice?
Yes.
Diego Costa coming in, if he doesn't add okay minutes and stuff like that, you know, when he obviously went to Chelsea, which I don't know who he spoke to, was one of the things, he's like, are you going to have my back because I'm going into war when I go on the pitch?
Yeah.
Maybe that will be one of the positive things that will come out to that we need.
Hopefully.
A little bit of grit, a little bit of someone
bit of that,
because we've been saying it for a while. We are too nice in some ways. Jose Sarr, larking about, having a bit of banter with thing. He obviously didn't in his head wasn't thinking, oh yeah, I want you to do that. Maybe in his head he was trying to psych him out in some reverse psychology way.
I've never seen that type of psychology before.
You know, Collins going and saying, but are we just too nice? Kevin, we need to be a little bit more beat.
Must have thought...
He's probably laughing.
Kevin De Bruyne's thinking we're in there.
Well, exactly. That's the point. Are we too nice? We need to be a little bit more intimidating to the opposition. And they see us as... Well, we'll stop them. They're not going to score. We get one, we'll roll them over.
That's the mentality, guy. Go on.
You'd want to play against us, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
At the moment. Especially when you're struggling, you really need that extra edge, the rolling up the sleeves and fighting. And I don't really see that. I think we're quite easy to play against.
Do you think we see it from Neves, though? Because Neves is like... He's got four yellow cards already this season. One more yellow card and he's suspended. Neves maybe is in the face a bit, as taking on the role as captain.
I think Neves, he's got the captain's role and I think he's done it really well.
But is anyone else?
The mentality starts from the leader. You know, the leader sets out the profile. Bruno. Yeah, of course it does.
He's the
manager and it starts with the way he talks, the way he addresses the team. And they have that fear when they're standing in that tunnel. They've got that fear that my manager expects this off me today. And... You know, for a player to be that relaxed and be that chatty, if we were second in the table, then we've performed. No one's going to bat an eyelid because you're going to say, well, obviously this works. This relaxed attitude's working for Wolves. Yeah. This is great. But we're rock bottom. We're not winning. We're not scoring. And then we still have that relaxed, laid back attitude.
Just to go off piste a little bit, one of my worries is when this ball keeps being played along our box. And so now goalkeepers, it used to be, the formation used to be 4-4-2, 4-3-3. Now it's 1-4-4-2, 1-4-3-3. Yeah. Mm. So they're counting effectively the goalkeepers now as an outfield player, right? This is what Matt Murray said to me about how the mentality of the goalkeepers now is using them in...
It's like sweepers.
Well, that's the amount of times my heart's in my mouth it goes to Sarr and you think, Haaland was just bearing down on him time and time again. I thought, he's going to get caught out here. Mm. And there will be a time this season he will get caught out. Yeah. He will. So what's it's happened, you said, didn't you, Paul?
So what's the answer, Paul? If someone that maybe works with sports psychology, what is the answer? Because they must have psychologists, you think, somewhere in that. They've got the medical staff, they've probably got psych. What is the switch that changes that? Is it because of the demeanour of the manager that it's like this, and a change will actually change the switch, and that's what the mentality of the players need—a reset?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the players' values and behaviours emanate from the manager, from the top, and if he's not exhibiting those, then it's hard for the rest of the players. They don't seem to have this little edge. So when a ball comes into the box, who really wants to get on the end of it? When a set piece is delivered, and we can talk about the quality of those, it just seems to be headed out really easily. Mm. We don't seem to have that little assertive or aggressive edge that our players want to be that person to make the difference.
Yeah.
About the final, before we get on to the final piece of the final little bit, which is the fixtures coming up, predictions, and then the little questions. You, I think, mentioned something about crossing, didn't you, that you wanted to talk about?
Oh, I'm so tired of it. The standard of delivery when it comes into the box is so poor. The people will say, yeah, but there's no big man in there. But how many teams really play with a big man now? I know we've signed one, and I do question why we've signed a 6'7" striker when we don't put the ball in the box anyway. But Man City's goals, the two crosses that were scored by Man City at the weekend, I don't see why we can't do that. They were passes into the box. Yeah. They weren't high lofted crosses where you want a big striker to nod it in.
They both scored from the ground, basically.
Yeah, this inverted winger thing means that crosses don't come in because the fullbacks aren't putting any in. The inverted wingers are playing too much inside and they're using their wrong foot. So if you think about the good goal that we did score against Southampton, that was a bit like that, wasn't it? Nunes put a lovely pass into the box And I think that that is not a feature in our game enough. And I think that's Nunes a big factor.
Nunes did the same thing against Newcastle. Neto lifted it over the bar. So yes. Two of our better crosses were down, you know, on the ground to the feet of our players. So we've obviously got players who can possibly do that. And you know what? The one thing I say when you judge a manager is, would any manager out there do better with this Wolves squad? And I think wholeheartedly we'd say, yes, there's a raft. Yeah, you know, if you go to, say, Sheffield United, when they had that really good season and Chris Wilder was lauded, at that time, I don't think any manager could have done better than Chris Wilder. So that's how I think you judge Bruno. If with the same players, regardless of the late transfers, regardless of the injuries, would they have done better against Bournemouth, Fulham, Leeds? You know, and would we have now been sitting on 12 points in the top six, having not had our squad together for long, having still had these injuries, but comfortable because we've got quality players? And I think most, if not all, Wolves fans and experts and pundits would say, yes, there's actually, would Conte do better with us? Obviously, we're not going to get him. Obviously, he would. So if you list those players down, those managers down, possibly you'll go a long way down that league table before you get to a manager that wouldn't improve.
I think that's probably the best way to sum it up is now we've got the level of players we've got. I think we need the level of manager.
Yeah, step up.
I'm sorry we're disappointing everyone and upsetting everyone and everyone's like, oh!
No, I think we're talking honestly. Yeah, and openly.
Nice of Bruno tuned in today, especially.
If us four are sitting here talking and saying this, and we're kind of like... We are the happy clapper podcast.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Exactly. If we're saying it, then crikey.
What's that? Happy Clapper Fan TV?
Anyway, let's get on to the predictions for October and November. We've got some questions the producers put down here. How many points for October and November are we going to get? Will Large keep his job? And if not, when will he get posted? The fixtures are West Ham away, Chelsea away, Forest at home, Palace away, Leicester at home, Brentford away, Brighton at home. We've got Leeds in the Cup. And then we've got last one before the World Cup, Arsenal away. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 games.
That'll take us to 15 games in the season.
Okay.
So 15 games. After 15 games to stay up, we need to be on 20 points to stay up, I think.
How many points are we checking out that last day?
We're on 6. So we would have to get 9 points from those 8 games minimum, right? Just to be probably 17.
Yeah.
So we're looking at double figures to actually move away. And then you look at those games.
Thanks, man.
Right now, you're looking at 10 plus points to get us any further up.
How many points we're getting? Right now, with Bruno Large.
If Bruno Large is in charge for all of those games, you know, 7 or 8, I don't think. Because that's the trajectory. We don't score goals.
Yeah.
So we will... pretty much, I think, be rooted into the bottom 3 or 4 after those games with Bruno Lage in charge. Unless he miraculously changes the system around and we play more attacking and Diego Costa somehow...
Becomes like Diego Costa of reincarnation. He just comes to reincarnation. Paul, points?
I think it depends on the first 3 matches. So West Ham away, Chelsea away, Forest at home. Maybe we can't see this happening, but say if we pick up 2 wins from those 3 matches.
Oh, Paul, yes.
If we do.
What's in his cup?
We want some.
I'm not saying we will. I'm saying if we do. That could really reinvigorate the squad.
Oh, yeah.
Bring back the belief and we could kick on.
Yeah.
Because going back, we were going to go to Liverpool, weren't we?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
we were confident.
I was saying... I think we're going to beat Liverpool.
Yeah.
So things can't be... We can't have no hope at all. But if we do badly in these first 3 matches, then confidence will plummet even further. We're not scoring goals. So my answer will be it depends.
Yeah.
But if it's the current manager on the current trajectory, you can't say really that you back us to get more than... 8 points, a point a game, because that's what the run that we've been on, a point a game, roughly.
I've just broke it down. So I'm not expecting him to be the manager past the Chelsea game. So we've got West Ham and Chelsea coming up.
Yeah.
So I've been kind and we give us a point for the 2 games. give us so
a point out of six.
A draw against West Ham, and I think obviously Chelsea are going to beat us, right? So give us a point for the first two games.
Yeah.
Then we go into a kind of run, which is Forest, Palace, Leicester and Brentford. Leicester and Forest are particularly in free fall, whereas Palace and Brentford actually aren't doing too bad. Let's give us 9 points out of them three games. Let's say we're going to beat Forest, we're going to beat Leicester, and then we're possibly going to beat either one of Palace or Brentford, right? So let's give us 9 points there.
That's 10.
Forget the Leeds game in the Cup, and then we've got Brighton and Arsenal. Give us another point there, okay? So up until the World Cup, I'm sticking my neck out and saying we're going to get 11 points.
But that puts on 17 after 15 games again. Would that be all right?
Well, the halfway point is 18, 19. No, it's 19 matches because there's 20 teams.
We'll still go down. So that's how far behind.
38 points is pretty much what you need.
A point a game is what you need to stay up, pretty much.
Listen, I'm just saying the Forest, Palace, Leicester, and Brentford, which you could all class as winnable games. You know, you could. I'm just.
If you look at that West Ham game, it's massive for both clubs because West Ham are equally. Apparently they played well at the weekend and they didn't convert, a bit like us.
Forest and Leicester have conceded 39 goals.
Forest are a team of
between them this season. And we can't score against them too. Then play volleyball.
Leicester have
I said we should turn Molyneux into
Leicester
a volleyball pitch.
So many goals.
That involves in not hitting the net.
We're good at that. Terrible from set pieces, Leicester. Forest are a team a team of strangers. Literally,
West Ham,
they can't the wood for the trees.
The next game is so important.
Yeah. Trees,
West
Forest,
Ham
yeah.
fans are absolutely livid about their start. They haven't played well.
Exactly.
They're struggling. So their conversion rate, their goal scored. So that's why for me, that match, for me, is the key. If we only get a draw there, I think he's gone.
Do you know what? At the end of that game, one set of fans is going to be hammering the manager.
Hammering.
I'm
walking to Chelsea.
Both might be.
At least the manager's dugout chair will be empty.
So you'll be able to rest on that. I think they might give him up to Forest, but I think whatever happens with the results against West Ham and Chelsea, if we lose at home to Forest, I think he'll be gone that night because they can't lose.
I can't see him getting to Forest personally.
Mate, I don't want. It's Samosa Saturday that day. I don't want fans throwing Samosa on the pitch.
Green egg.
Imagine that.
Okay, will Large keep his job? I'm thinking, is it just a straight yes or no?
I think Chelsea's going to be D-Day.
I can't see him being in charge by the time the World Cup comes round.
So he's going to be gone for you as well.
Large is not a long-term manager for Wolves. And now he's not even a short-term manager. Let's be honest.
Sadly, I think I agree. I think it's unless there's a massive.
You know
turn.
What? The funny thing is, football is such a. You know, we go to West Ham and suddenly, you know, we won 3-0 because they've had a stinker. And then we're like, we can make Europe again.
But I would say give him a 3-year contract.
Obviously, yeah.
You know, unless there's
it
a
is
massive...
game by game, isn't it? If he wins, we'll say, okay, give him the next game. As soon as he loses,
of course he
we're back to square one again. Yeah. Aren't we?
So I think there's already plans of
football. We're fickle, aren't we?
I think there's got to
They'd
be
silly not
to. Fans are fickle. But I think, to be honest, most of the fans have been very, very patient up until this point.
Yeah.
And it's now, because the focus has all gone off.
It's goals, man. Even when you're playing badly. I mean, Leicester are playing badly, but they still scored 3 goals.
There's only Gillingham that have scored fewer goals in the
92 clubs.
And that's a huge problem, and that should set big alarm bells ringing.
We've got some questions anyway, Dave.
Yeah, bottom in one is so many things. So, final for some questions from different social things. We've got James Hallett. We'll go with you first for this one, Paul. What's your 5-year prediction from Wolves?
Well, first of all, we've got to get this season right.
Yeah.
On the whole, I think it would be a positive prediction because money has been invested this summer. We can't complain on that front. So it seems like Fosun want to still push for this top 7.
Yeah.
And I'd be delighted with that. So I would like to think over the next 5 years, we will be continually pushing for that top 7 and maybe even flirting, you know, with a Champions League.
In these 5 years.
I'd love us to win a trophy, as will we all. But I think a big issue that the club need to look at is the Steve Ball stand, and I would like them to within the next 5 years, at least have some plans afoot to properly deal with that stand, because you could argue it's not really fit for purpose right now.
Yeah, that's cool. And Jason?
My five-year prediction is I think we're going to move down to a ground near the M54, the I-54, big ground there, hotel, casino, all the works. Molyneux is going to be a housing development. Listen, I can't even predict the next five games, right, can I? I really don't know what it's going to bring. I just hope within the next 5 years that we get to see some European football like we did. I think we've
got
to be honest. Yeah, I don't see us competing for league titles realistically. So I just think if we get to
the championship,
if we get to European football within the next 3 or 4 years, amazing.
We've had to reset ourselves, haven't we? I think we moved so fast after getting promoted, 7th, Europe, you know, cup semi-final, which was heartache, but we still got there. Which seems, and all those seem a million miles away now. Those days seem like they were decades ago, you know, and literally,
that's
we've stagnated, and the pandemic didn't help, and Nuno's final season didn't help, and it hasn't improved since. You get a new manager in to improve things, and literally, I think you'd probably say we're enjoying the football less than we did under our previous manager.
Yeah, that's
so. Now, you know, you look at the five-year prediction, it would be an absolute dream to get into Europe, where we should have been expecting to compete for Europe every year by now.
Yeah.
So it's actually that starting again. Let's start again and let's have a dream of maybe getting into Europe and maybe the odd, you know, final of a trophy like the FA Cup or, the, you know, a favourable draw you can get a long way. So we're now hoping again. So five-year prediction is hopefully we make it back within those, make it back into Europe, because we seem so far away again and we shouldn't be. And it might change very quickly. New manager comes in, he sees the players, we start playing front foot football, we eventually, you know, get a striker that can score goals, and it might change and that prediction will change, but it's the wrong time to ask of Wolves fans right now what are their five-year prediction.
Well, great question, James.
Let's look at the place. You made him angry now, James. Let's look at the five-game prediction. Stadium redevelopment. I think that needs to be happening with that. Agreed. I think there's going to be something happening in the corners during the the corners of the stands with the screens and stuff like that. I think they're talking about stuff like that.
You're always Wolves box in that.
Yeah, and I'd like to get European football, but win a trophy would be nice. So I'm gonna say we'll win some cup, even if it's like
Johnson's
that cup we won?
Papa John's.
Papa John's trophy. The under-21s could win that. Who knows? Yeah. David J. We'll start this time with Jason, thoughts on Neto? Does he need resting, game time, or switch back to his preferred side?
Thoughts on Neto? By the sound of it, I think my missus has just come back from Aldi. No, you're right, darling. I did say earlier that I didn't think he was the best player since he was playing his best football since he's come back from injury. I do think he doesn't look quite the player he was. I want him to get back to the performance level, because I really did think Neto was a good player with a lot of potential. Does he need resting? Listen, I think he just needs to play games. I think he needs confidence. I don't think he needs to be pulled in and pulled out and left out for a couple of games. So I think game time is very, very important. And yes, I do think you've got to play players in their best positions. And he is left-sided. He is awesome with that left foot of his. And I think he'll create more chances and score more goals. I just think that he needs to get to his preferred side and keep playing football.
Manny?
We're limited on options if we do rest him, because Chiquinho being injured, Adama, you know,
he's injured,
Adama. And so, yeah, play him on the left-hand side, play an extra forward, and if that means bringing Chem Campbell on because he's the only striker, play him.
At least he
get two wingers. Tell Chem Campbell you're in the box, but Dens is behind you. Tell Nunes and Neves you're good enough, you've shown you're good enough to play as a two,
And for me, that means Moutinho is the one rested for me, because I just think we don't need three players in midfield.
Especially against certain teams.
So Neto is still in there, maybe a little bit by default, because we just, you know, if Chiquinho was fit, if, you know, he was flying, if Adama was flying, then more pressure would have been put on Neto because some of his performances. Let's look at Hwang. People have given Hwang a lot of stick, but Neto's performances haven't been any better on that side. So, definitely play him on the left and keep him in there. And you don't want to destroy his confidence being a young player by throwing him out either. And he literally, I think, he's a goal away from clicking, from being back. And
that could set the whole team
going. It could, yeah. I just think he needs to. He's still an outlet, isn't he? He's still someone who can get us up the pitch. There's very few players without Adama being on the pitch who can get us up there. So, yeah, I'd still keep him, but just play him in the right place.
That question to you as well, but looking on to the next question, which is, again, from another chap called David.
It's all the bloody Davids in it. Always
is Ait Nouri a liability in a back four as well as the Neto question?
Okay. Questions,
so quickly, Neto. Surprised he got selected for Portugal. He hasn't been in the best of form. I do believe he's a square peg in a round hole on the right. He was our player of the year 2 years ago because he was playing on the left.
Because we played to
his strengths, which is being direct, quick, getting to the byline, getting crosses in. It's not working for him on the right. Why are we persisting with it? Yeah. Get him on the left.
And the goal he scored against Chelsea. Yeah. He beat them. Yeah. You know, that was classic.
He's a victim of the manager's tactical plan that he's got for him at the moment. As for Ait Nouri, I don't know if I'd use the word liability. I think that's perhaps stretching it a little bit. He does make some mistakes, but he's a young player playing in the most competitive league in the world, the highest level in the world. So
he's got a lot of skill as well.
He will make some mistakes. And I think as a young player, we have to accept that. And he's certainly got a lot better since we first signed him. He's making progress. So I think it's a bit harsh to call him a liability, but he has got an error in him. And I think he's a real good asset to us in the long term. His value will increase. What I think he can do is probably still offer a little bit more in terms of numbers for assists, because he's certainly skillful enough, quick enough to be contributing more on that side of things.
And Ait Nouri for you, Jason?
Ait Nouri, yeah. I think if you've only got to look at the quality of clubs looking at him.
PSG, we're linked with him.
Yeah, tells you what a good player he is. And I maintain what I said earlier. Is he a left back? No, he's a wing back. And I just think he's better at going forward than he's defending.
Yeah. Same question to you, but Emily's got a question.
Yeah.
Neves already has 4 yellow cards, the latest for arguing with the ref. One more card before game week 19 and he gets a one match ban. Is he doing a good job of captain with this discipline?
You know what? Neves has been on 4 yellow cards in a lot of seasons that he's played.
He always seems to be one card.
Neves can't change his game. He tackles. And we've got to live with that. We've got Moutinho in there.
He's talking about the arguing there.
You know what? He's captain. Yeah. And sometimes when you're captain, you feel more, especially when you're struggling. You've got to be seen to want to do everything you can. And if that involves being in the ref's face sometimes, and yes, he's got to, you know, maybe cut that down. But he's the leader as well. So there's a balance. We can't just say, just be quiet and just be in the background and don't. You know, he's a captain, and we're lacking leaders anyway. So I think with Moutinho, with Nunes, with Boubacar Traore right now, we've got a few options in midfield if we're only playing two. So if it means he gets banned for one game, I just can't see him changing the way he's playing, his tackling. And I don't think it's ill discipline as such from Neves. I think it's just him trying to be a bit more dynamic, and having crap referees in the Premier League doesn't help. You know, Ait Nouri, the liability side, we have conceded a few goals where the ball's been played in that channel behind him, you know, and sometimes, you know, Marcel was probably more of a fullback. He was more like defensively minded, just used to clear the ball, not get forward. And it's that balance, you know, if you've got an attacking fullback, generally they're going to leave holes at the back. You look at Trent Alexander-Arnold, he gets ripped apart when defensively, but yet he puts more crosses in and has more assists than any other fullback in world football.
Yeah.
So the they use that. They think, we'll go with that because he creates so much. And I think that's where Nuri, you know, at 10 million quid, he was a great signing, and he can develop into that type of player, which gives us more benefit. And our defence, even though he's made maybe mistakes, hasn't actually been bad with him in it. Our record's been okay.
Four goals so, against you know, him in the first six matches.
We've got to carry on, persisting with him. We haven't really got much competition either. You know, Johnny's sort of covering both positions, hasn't he, with Smedo and Aitnuri. So we've got to persist with him. I think, again, he's a young player that needs arm. And this is where the manager lacks, you know, the arm round and the talk, the Conor Cody situation.
The man management.
You know, the man management. Someone in there with him. And
don't
say,
put it on Twitter.
Don't put it on Twitter. Don't put this podcast out live. Whatever you do, this is just private for us, you know. So yeah, we've got to persist with these players because we haven't really got real options to replace them with at this critical time. So.
Paul Neves,
you don't want to take that away from his game.
Yeah.
I think he feels the responsibility of stepping up. Now he's the leader with the armband in the team. From memory, actually, this booking on against Man City, I think the ref did make a horrible decision. And we're not a team, we've talked about this today, who have got a discipline problem, who do get in referees' faces. So I wouldn't ask him to...
about the niceness of the general.
I wouldn't ask him to do anything differently. It's not ideal that he's already on four bookings from seven Premier League matches, but I wouldn't ask him to change what he's doing. And I don't think discipline for him or the team in general is an issue.
Right, final question, because we're running out of time. This is from Carl Whitehouse. This is to each one of you. I'm going to start with you first for this one, Jason. Who should replace Collins for the next three games?
Gomez.
Totti Gomez for you?
Not Neves. Back onto the Neves one very quickly.
Oh, yes, sorry. Yeah, of course.
No, it's okay. Neves, for me, is a fantastic captain. He deserves it. He's level-headed. He's everything we need in a captain. He's had some big shoes to fill with Conor Cody as well. But yeah, quite right. What the other guy said, you can't take out the out of his game. What's got him in, you know, with his four yellows, you can't take that from him. But yeah, sorry. Back to the point about Collins. For me, got to be Totti Gomez.
Totti Gomez.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be. I don't know enough about Mosquera to know if he'd be any good or not. What we have seen is some evidence from Gomez to know that he can deliver at this level. And I think what he does is move Kilman to the right and has Gomez on the left, so your more experienced player plays on his weaker foot, if you like. But Kilman's played as a right-sided centre-back last season, so I think it's an easy decision, really, for the manager. It's Gomez in and Kilman to the right of the two.
Fantastic. And
Gomez is the obvious, you know, Mosquera, we haven't really seen him in Premier League action. And Gomez, whenever he came on, and I thought he was really unlucky to be dropped when Soyce came back from the African Nations. And remember, we were playing well at the time in January. And Soyce comes back straight in the side and started making mistakes.
He struggled.
And he didn't play very well, and Gomez was left.
And Bruno made that decision.
And he made that decision, and Gomez was playing well. And if a player's playing well, you keep him in. So I'm confident, but I'm not confident in Bruno because I think he'll play Gomez and then he'll say to Neves, you need to stay back to help him because we've lost Collins, and that will make us negative again against West Ham and Chelsea. And you know, that's what I can see with Bruno in charge. I just see him saying to Neves or Moutinho, you've got to drop back because we've got no Collins, and you've got to support Totti Gomez because he's young. So it's literally going five at the back again. He's the obvious replacement, but I just think the formation just won't work with Bruno in charge.
Fantastic. Guys, well, thank you ever so much for us joining us. A couple of things to finish off on. Check out Jason's channel, podcast, the Wolf Wishart podcast. Lots of interviews with lots of Wolves players. A great library, a fantastic podcast to listen to. And Jason, any updates on any of your fundraisers that you want to put? And you can get people, get you on socials?
Yes, so on Twitter, at Wolves Premier, if I haven't already blocked you. With regards to the Wolf Whistle podcast, at Wolf Whistle Pod, and I appreciate all the great feedback on that. We had a fundraiser the other night, and the winners... Always Wolves. We had a great night.
Thanks
raised £1,300 for the charities, which was amazing. And the next one we've got, the next fundraiser is 27th of October at the Mount Hotel. He's arguably one of the greatest managers in Wolves history.
Get him
I
back.
Give you Mr. Dean Saunders, everyone.
I literally can't wait for that.
I can't wait for the Dean.
He's nearly sold out, and I'm going to give him such a hard time and ask him loads of questions. And I am going to
You seriously will.
Like
as well.
I did to Jamie O'Hara, I'll give, you know, on Aldo O'Hara, and I'm going to do the same with Dean Saunders.
That's fantastic. Paul, how can people get in touch with you? Any final thoughts as well?
Yeah, it's at Paul Mansell 10. Just to say about Jason's quiz last week, we had a great time there, and
yeah,
I know Jason's talking about trying to run it again next year. I'd urge you to get along. It's a great night, and if you know your stuff about Wolves, then I think, you know, there were some questions were so hard, weren't they? The pitch around, I don't know where you dug out some of those from, but it's a good social event, so look forward to being there next year.
Fantastic. And Manny, you know, you've got a crazy week coming up soon, man.
You know what? I'm not very good at calendars and setting diaries. I'm absolutely rubbish. And I'll, like, set
some... Did he come here last night?
Yeah. I was standing out here. But honestly, an opportunity. I think when you, Jason will probably agree, when somebody asks you to do something, you just find it hard to say no. When it comes to fundraising, it is almost like an addiction as well, and it's a good addiction, isn't it? Let's be honest, because people need help out there. So, yeah, we've got a busy week. Obviously, walking to Chelsea to see if Costa plays and see who's in charge.
154 miles in like 2.5 days.
By the way,
mate, you know what? It is quite scary. It's quite frightening, and I've sort of gone through it and I've walked bits of the route, and I'm thinking,
is that because you've got to walk past Villa Park?
No, it's just, you know, it is actually, it's a mental thing. But then you get people, a bloke who comes and goes, I'm going to sponsor you £1 a mile.
That was on the extra time.
So when he actually sponsored me, he goes, I've doubled it to £2 a mile, 126 miles.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Mate, and Jason knows this effect. That's my energy gel. That's me. You know, when people say, do you train for this? You know, he runs marathons. Do you think he's running out every day training for it? No. The energy comes from the support you get.
Yeah.
If we didn't get support, then we wouldn't do it. Because there'd be no one supporting.
What do you mean energy gels? You don't eat samosas all the way there.
Imagine carrying all those
super samosa power. Come on, Manny. Man.
Yeah, so, you know, we're going to walk there, and then obviously I'm going to be absolutely fit as a fiddle the following week. So we're doing Samosa Saturday the week after on the 15th at the Forest game, which was like... And then suddenly I got speaking to Jenny Wilkes, who's the chairperson of the Wolves Women. You know, she's an absolute legend on the radio, people know her from. And we just decided that we should do one there, and we're playing, you know, them lot down the road. The women are on the 12th of October, and so we'll be doing that one that evening as well, and we'll be really busy that week, but we're going to try and do one, but we're going to do that one for the foundation for their sleeper and try and help them out. So yeah, a really busy week, but again, without the support, it is nothing. It means nothing. It's people like yourselves come out and help and encourage me, and you're the hands and you're the limbs, man. It's most a Saturday, a lot of organisation, but on the day, I just actually do literally stand back and watch in amazement at everybody, you know, doing what
they're
doing.
You're going to need a holiday after that, man. How can people find you on socials?
Socials, yeah, at Pedal Sing. If anyone's stuck to find me, just at Gary Gammon, and he'll direct you. He'll direct you to where I am.
Oh, God.
These guys know this. Some of the people on social media, they are horrific. They are. But I think we've learnt over the years.
Yeah.
It affected, I think, most of us. But we learned to how to deal
with
it.
My skin's really thick to it now. And you know what? They can give me all they want, because I just find it so funny. It's all faceless accounts who would never ever say it to us. So
it's their own insecurities that they show off.
Massively.
Big time. Anyway, talking about socials, you can find me, Dazzling Dave, on Instagram and Twitter and all that. And the Always Wolves, you can find, again, on Always Wolves. But I just want to say one thing before thing. Yesterday, we were announced that the podcast is made the final of the this year's Football Content Awards. We're up against the Big Six and a couple of others. I think there's eight podcasts that have made Best Premier League Fan Podcast of the Year. So I will leave a
big round
a link.
Of applause for Dave, by the way, guys.
No,
the producer, you know what?
The producer and everyone.
I'm sorry, yes, our producer.
It's everybody, you guys, and supports and stuff like that. But like, so it's like, you know, it's for all of us and it's for every Wolves fan. It'd be amazing because it's always like the Arsenals or the Cities or the Uniteds or the Liverpools that win.
They make it a public vote, don't they? And they've got...
But it's the only trophy Wolves are going to win in the next 5 years.
Yeah. Get yourself on the website, on the socials and vote for us. And who knows, maybe Wolves can... we can bring it home for Wolves if you feel that you enjoy all this stuff. And listen, thank you again to you guys. It's brilliant when we can do these in person. Now the pandemic's over, it's been an allowance. Thanks, Jason, for hosting us tonight.
No problem. And the 50p in the meter is going to go in a minute, so we're going to have to hurry up.
For myself, Paul, Jason and Manny, I hope you've enjoyed it. And until the next one, always Wolves. It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.